Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Ryan Lehrer on WNYC, and yesterday, Radio Rookie, our Radio Rookies project, featured a story by Danielle, a young woman from Congo who came to New York City with her father, stepmother, and siblings when her father got a job here. She was just 13. But the promise of living here, the promise of that famous American dream, hasn't really come true. Here is a 30-second clip from her great piece, which, as I said, originally aired yesterday.
When I talk to my mom back home, I pretend like everything is just good.
Hello, Mama.
I don't tell her that I live in a shelter.
Yeah.
We just talk about my education, and she tells me to be good.
Okay.
My stepmom doesn't tell family back home the way we live either.
I don't want them to worry about me. That's why I tell them I'm okay. I'm okay.
We're supposed to give them hope.
So Danielle shielding the family back home in Congo from some of the harsher realities of living in New York right now. And we know she's not alone. Anyone who moves to this area, whether it's from Alabama or Algeria, often can feel the pressure to report back about how great life is in the new place, even if it isn't. So we're going to talk to Danielle, but we're also going to open the phones for your calls. If you're an immigrant from another country who came to America hoping for a better life, what do you tell your friends and family back home? And what do you tell them when things aren't going so well? Because everybody's got some tough times. 212-433-WNYC for immigrants to our area from other countries. Do you relate to this? 212-433-9692, or post a comment on our webpage at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. And joining me now is Danielle, the radio rookie who told her story in that wonderful piece yesterday. Hi, Danielle.
Hi, Brian.
And also with us is Kim Nichols, the executive director at African Services Committee, a nonprofit in Harlem that works with African immigrants in New York City. Kim, welcome to WNYC.
Thanks, Brian. And hi, Danielle.
Hi, Kim.
And I know Danielle interviewed Kim for her piece, so they have spoken before. And Danielle, there's a part in your piece where your brother says that America is golden, and he came to the United States expecting to play professional soccer here, although that hasn't worked out. What were you expecting?
I was expecting a better life, like I said before. I thought when I was going to come here and be in America, it's going to be wonderful. It's going to be good. I'm going to have a good house. I'm going to have cars. People going to drive me. My parents going to drive me to school. But that's not what I ended up being in the situation. So,
how would you begin to describe your life here?
When I first came here, I was surprised. Because I thought everything was just perfect, but it wasn't. And I was okay with it, but time goes on, everything starts breaking apart. And
like how? Is it poverty? Is it bad living conditions?
I wouldn't say that, but my parents are divorced, and my dad is married to my stepmom. So I was living with my stepmom and my dad, and he moved out from the house, and my stepmom lost her job, and everything started breaking apart. She couldn't pay the rent, and we had to go to her homeless shelter, which I didn't like at all. I hated being there, but I had no choice but to go.
What was it like there?
It was hard. They had so many rules. I couldn't even do anything. I couldn't invite friends over. I had difficulty when I go to school. I couldn't tell my friends where I live. I was scared. I thought they would, like, judge me that I live in a shelter, like I'm poor. And I didn't want people to see me as a poor person. So
Kim Nichols from African Services Committee is This story from Danielle, the kind of thing you hear a lot?
All the time. You know, when new immigrants come to the States, they expect a new life, like new life in capital letters. And sometimes what you get is a new life that you might not have expected. In Danielle's case, as a minor, to have housing insecurity and at such a young age and family breakup is something that she probably never anticipated. And it's true that no one wants family to feel sorry for them or worry about them back home. So as bad as it is to have to deal with adverse circumstances, it's even tougher to have to keep that all inside.
So do you think that lying or sugarcoating the truth is a common thing that immigrants do when they call home, and should they be, in your opinion?
Well, I know Danielle says, she said she feels like a liar for not telling the whole story, but I would never see it that way. I think, you know, when you come here, life is tough. Yeah, under any circumstances as a new immigrant or a refugee or an asylee. So you have to figure what you can disclose that makes you comfortable. If it's more of a burden to inform everybody back home of your circumstances in detail, if it's more of a burden to you, it's probably better to just, you know, disclose as much as you feel you need to, but maybe not tell the whole story.
So
Danielle, in fact, is one of the most honest young women I think I've ever met. She's very frank and open, so I think, you know, she's certainly not somebody I would ever associate with the word liar.
Well, Danielle, maybe it will make you feel better just to know that when I ask for people to call in if they've had similar experiences, our entire line, board of lines, 10 lines, instantly filled up. So let's hear from some of the other immigrants. And you should have seen Danielle's face light up just now when I told her that, folks. But let's start. This is actually one of my favorite callers, Adina, who runs the Irvington, New Jersey IHOP, who has called in before during snowstorms and hurricanes and all kinds of things. Hi, Adina.
Hi, Brian. Thank you for taking my call. Thank you so much.
So tell us about your story and how it relates to Danielle's.
Well, Danielle, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you,
I'm
too.
An immigrant that sort of migrated here when I was 13 years old from West Africa, Liberia. I left my country during the Civil War. So I came here during a very dramatic time in my country history and also in my history. So that transition was sort of hard for me. But I did realize that my situation was 100 times better than anyone's situation in my country. So I relate to her piece when she said, we sort of have to be the hope for them. I can so much attest to that because my worst day here is probably their best day in Africa. Because in America, we have resources. And we from this great nation where people are always willing to reach out and pull each other up and help each other. Like when she said right now she's in a shelter. Well, if she was in Africa, there's no such thing as a shelter. She and her family would be on the street.
Adina, I'm gonna leave it there for today. Please keep calling us. I want to get some other folks on, and I'm going to get Danielle's reaction, okay?
Thank you so much, Brian.
Thank you very much. So do you have that same feeling when you think about your troubles here compared to if you were back in Congo?
Yes. I have the same. I have exactly the same. I was in the same age. I was 13 when I came here. And I thought it was good. It was perfect for me. But I think life here was better than me being in Africa. Because there, if you don't have a house, you automatically you're going to stay out. You're going to be in the street. You're not going to get anybody who's going to take care of you and bring you in the home. So I think being in America, it was good option for me. If I was in Africa, I wasn't going to get what I had now.
Did you ever reach the point, have you, where you started to think, well, this is actually so not working out that maybe I should just go home or not close?
I did, actually. I did, and I called my mom. I called my mom. I say, I don't want to be here. I want to come back.
living with you. But she said that I don't want you to come back and be in this situation that I am right now, which I don't know what situation she's in, but she can tell me. She said she wants me to be here and have a better life, but she doesn't know what I have been through. So
you have to figure this out for yourself.
Yeah.
Suleiman in New Rochelle, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hello.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you for picking my call. I'm your regular caller. Sometimes back home, when you tell them you don't have money, or you send them money and later they call, and you tell them, oh, I don't have money, they say, oh, you are in America. Supposed to send money anytime we need because you are the one who helping us.
They think the streets are paved with gold, huh?
Yeah, but sometimes they don't understand. They don't know that it's hard here sometimes. Because sometimes after you pay your rent, you pay your bills, there is nothing left. But they say, hey, you are in America, you know?
And they don't. So in that case, you're telling the truth. You're not making something up, but they don't believe you. Danielle, you're nodding rather enthusiastically.
Yes, that's the same thing. Like when you tell them that you don't have any more money to send them back home, they think that you're lying. They think because you're in America, you have everything. You have money coming down to you. Like when you're walking down the street, you can see money on the floor and just pick it up. But that's not how it is.
Kim from Africa Services Committee, I'll bet you hear that story a lot because a lot of people do come here intending to send home money to help support the family, right? That's such a classic reason for immigrating to the United States.
Mm-hmm. We sure do hear that. And I'm married to an African immigrant, so I know whenever we go back to Africa that we don't come empty-handed. that's certainly true. That's certainly true. But, you know, I think for younger people like Danielle, who are in their teenage years, you know, it's particularly poignant and difficult because parents back home or older family members really want them to succeed. And if they, you know, hear disappointing news, it's a sense of shame or failure on the part of the young person. And that adds another dimension to it as well.
Let's get one more caller on before we run out of time. And David Lynch is going to be our next guest, by the way. Felix on Staten Island. You're on WNYC. Hello.
Yes, hello, Brian. Thank you for taking my call. I look forward to your show every morning.
Thank you so much.
Yes, indeed. You know, we cannot tell them the truth. We can't tell them. I don't think they'll believe us. You know, if you tell them you are not making it in America, it's tough for you. They see you as a failure. But I've come to the realization that we need to be honest with them. We have to tell them what's going on, either they believe us or not. Because I've been in the States since I was 20 years old. But still, I can barely make ends meet. Almost 20 years later, you know, and right now I have two kids I need to take care of also over here, so we can't continue to work and send them the money. You know, I tell them, listen, that's it, the days are over when I used to be able to send you whatever you ask for. You know, even though I went to college, they say go to college and you'll make it, but I still have to go drive a cab over the weekend in the city.
How about from, you know, beyond, and we're almost out of time, Felix, but beyond the question of how much money you can actually send back, the idea, the emotion that goes behind things not being as good as you hoped or they hoped it would be for you. Is that hard to be honest with?
At first, yes, it is hard. But sooner or later, you have to tell them the truth. Because you can make it. You can make ends meet. Having to take care of all these people, over a dozen people behind you, you need to support in addition to your own bills and children, if you have children over here. So you have to. I've come to that realization that I can no longer continue. I cannot do it. That's it. What I did for you, that's it. Over with. Mm. If I can send you $100 a month to eat, this is it. But I cannot send you $1,000, $2,000 like I used to. No.
At some point, you make that break into your new life. Well, Danielle, you're not there yet as still a teenager, right?
Yes. But my brother deals with that.
Meaning?
My brother, like, send back money. He send back money home. And sometimes when he tell them that I don't have the money, they don't believe him because they say, oh, you're in America. You're supposed to have money. But that's not how it is. They don't know what he's going through.
Well, we leave it there with Danielle, who told her story through WNYC's Radio Rookies Project, which puts microphones in the hands of New York City area teenagers. You can hear her whole piece and the rest of the current group of Radio Rookies at WNYC.org. Danielle, thank you so much and good luck.
Thank you, Brian.
And Kim Nichols, Executive Director at African Services Committee, a nonprofit in Harlem that works with African immigrants in the city. Kim, thank you very much.
You're welcome, Brian.
And thanks to all our callers. Keep listening and keep calling us, folks. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, director, producer, writer David Lynch on one of his non-showbiz interests. We'll get a couple of David Lynch movie questions in there, too. But meditation as a means to help prisoners and other troubled people with David Lynch next.